your bones. The Bandersnatch croon another haunting tune. The banshee on the bagpipes above the moon.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lefrak. It is almost Halloween, as you can probably tell from our theme music today. And here at the show, we thought we would take a little much needed break from the news and try to have some fun. We have a really great show lined up for you today. Later in the hour, we'll hear a ghost story and we will share the tale of Dr. Gasp. He's a Halloween musician with a very, very unique songbook. But first, in this hour, we are talking Halloween costumes, specifically how to make a really excellent costume from thrift store finds and just stuff you find lying around at home. And with global supply chains backed up, we thought this might be a good conversation to have for those of you who might be anxiously awaiting for a last-minute costume purchase from Amazon to show up. So if you need some costume tips, you can call in today. Call our panel of experts at 1-800-639-2211. Joining us today is Amanda Hare. She's a manager at Goodwill in Williston and South Burlington. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Thanks for joining the show. We are also joined today by Andrew Liptak. He's a cosplayer, historian, and writer from Barrie, and he's also the author of the forthcoming book, Cosplay a History, The Builders, Fans, and Makers Who Bring Your Favorite Stories to Life. It comes out next June. Andrew, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Andrew, let's start with you. First, let's talk costumes versus cosplay, because I'm not sure everybody out there knows what cosplay is. Can you tell us?
So cosplay is the simplest definition is the act of dressing up as something because you're a fan of it. I think that Halloween costume is sort of a subset of that. But you see cosplayers show up at places like San Diego Comic-Con or here in Vermont. There's a couple of conventions here, or sometimes before movie openings like Star Wars or Star Trek.
Okay. So when we're talking about Halloween costumes, that is just one subset of cosplay. And you have written a lot about the evolution of the American Halloween costume tradition. So can you give us a little history lesson to start this conversation off? When did this practice of dressing up for Halloween start?
Yeah. So Halloween is a longstanding agricultural holiday. It goes all the way back to, hundreds of years in Europe. Moving forward in the timeline a little bit, you have it come over to the US with people, as people came over from Europe, and they preserved a lot of those traditions. In England, Halloween was sort of like a mischief holiday. It sort of coincided with Guy Fawkes Day, and that tradition sort of came over as well. So for a long time, Halloween wasn't so much synonymous with trick-or-treating or candy or costumes. It was synonymous with property destruction. And a lot of cities and towns tried to put a stop to that because, that was one night of the year where kids could sort of run wild and have fun. And so what sort of happened around the start of the 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s is a lot of magazines, like home magazines, would propose to hold a Halloween party at your house. So you'd have, treats, you'd have games for kids to play, you'd have, kids from the neighborhood who would come over, and there's sort of a supernatural bend to this.
Did this intersect with the kind of growth of the middle class and suburban life in America?
Eventually it did, because what happened after World War II is you had this big explosion, and as you have suburbs spring up all over the country, you have people, a lot of people close by along the streets, so they're very walkable. Kids could go from house to house, in groups or with parents and go trick-or-treating. Along with that, you have the rise of candy companies that are trying to sell candy, and they really sort of pushed this after the Second World War. One of the interesting things is that trick-or-treating sort of comes not from Halloween, but from Thanksgiving. And around the New England area and the New York area, you have this tradition spring up around around the Thanksgiving holiday, where kids would go around from store to store, or sorry, from house to house, and basically beg for pennies or for candy or apples. They're called ragamuffins. And my guess here is that they're basically tossed out of the house to let the parents cook. You would have kids just running around, and there's a little bit of property destruction here as well. Kids, one of the stories I read is that kids would basically fill up a sock full of flour, and if they didn't get a mark, so that to warn other people that they're not, you know, giving that house is not giving away candy. That sort of started to migrate over to Halloween. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade sort of took a lot of air out of that balloon, so to speak, and it basically sort of merged into the Halloween holiday after that. It still persisted into about the 1950s.
Now, Andrew, I'm sorry, we are having a tough time hearing you, so I think we are going to let you go for a moment, and we will get you back on a different connection. Yep. So, Amanda, let's turn to you. You are working in Goodwills in Vermont as a manager, and I imagine that there are lots of folks coming in right now to put together their own costumes. Can you tell us a little bit about what you have available for people who want to make something from scratch?
The beauty of it is that they can literally come in and make anything out of nothing. I've seen people come in wanting to be Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park, and you know, they bought khakis and a blue shirt, or you know, Rosie the Riveter, you know, blue like denim shirts. It's literally coming in and just starting with a fresh canvas and buying basic everyday things that we don't really think twice about, and making like these really amazing costumes that they're just putting, you know, we have some like costume jewelry that's like $1.25, and they're doing like pearls. And, you know, I've seen people do like a Great Gatsby things, and just taking a lot of different clothing items and being incredibly creative and putting them together. And it's really fun when they come up to register and it's like, okay, tell me what your costume is. What are you thinking? And it's the creativity that comes out this time of year is always, it's my favorite time of year, just to see like little things that people come up with.
Now, Amanda, what are some of the trends that you're seeing this year? Are people coming in asking for help with specific costume ideas, or is it mostly just people wandering and saying that, help, I don't know what to do. I need an idea. What can you point me towards?
It's a lot of like what's going on with like pop culture things. So people trying to find jumpsuits for, you know, Squid Games, or like any TV. Like, I think it wasn't so much last year, but people wanting to get out, doing a lot of Tiger King things, but a lot of pop culture-y things. So it's really, I tend to work more in the Williston store, and I can speak for them specifically. They just have like these great imaginations and a flair for creativity. So when people do come in, it's like, let me go get, you know, like one of the girls that I work with, you know, they love going out and helping people find, you know, if they want to be a teddy bear, or I've seen costumes. I think it was from Yellowstone, one of the characters from that, and just making a little bit like something out of nothing. And it's always their favorite time of year too, in the Williston store, because they can let their creative juices flow and they can jump right in and help.
Right. You kind of get to be a costume designer or a personal stylist in a way that maybe they don't get to normally.
Absolutely.
Andrew, I believe we have you back on the line. Are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thanks so much for rejoining. So Amanda and I were talking about this art of putting together costumes from scratch. And I understand that this is something that you do a lot for yourself and your family as well. So can you tell us a little bit about some of your favorite costumes that you have put together?
Yeah. So the first costume I ever really built for myself was a stormtrooper from Star Wars. And I built that from a kit that I purchased from a friend. And basically that came out of the box as all formed plastic parts. And I, attached them all at the right places and threw it on, and I was a stormtrooper. Over the years, it's gotten a little bit more sophisticated. I've built a whole bunch of different troopers from the Star Wars franchise and a bunch of other costumes along the way. I think my favorite one that I've built lately is a character from Rogue One, which is a we call a shore trooper. It's sort of like a stormtrooper, but the Marine version. They have tan armor, and that one involved a little bit more than just plastic. It had some foam and some 3D printing and a lot of paint and weathering, and it just looks very cool. I always like taking that one out.
Okay, you just mentioned 3D printing, and I am extremely impressed and a little bit intimidated. What does it take to 3D print costume parts? How do you do that?
Well, you need a printer. And the nice thing about that is that they are much more common than they were just a couple of years ago. So you can find them anywhere. You can buy them. I have one in my basement. The local library here in Barrie has one at the that I've gotten some parts printed up from. And some people have like really big sort of, not quite industrial ones, but really big ones that they can print up like an entire helmets and pieces of armor on. If you don't know what 3D printing is, what it is it is it's a machine that is guided by a computer, and it basically guides a spool of plastic wire through it. And the type that I've used is the wire will go through the extruder, it will melt the plastic, and as it goes along sort of a predetermined pathway, it'll build up your costume part or your prop or whatever, little bit by little bit, layer by layer. And after a while, you'll have this whole thing will be basically printed up on a bed. You can't get like a thing that is like, you know, totally perfectly formed off it. You have to sort of sand down the layers and paint it. But it's a really new and a very innovative way to make costume designs. A lot of Hollywood studios will do this to make big props. A lot of costumers will make either, if not an entire costume out of it, or using this process, they'll make individual, you know, parts or components. For my short trooper, there's like a one or two components that I use that are actually 3D printed. But for like my son had a Halloween costume. I made a Halloween costume for him last year, and I had gotten the parts from a guy who had printed them up, and they were just too small for him. So.
Well, I thought I was very impressive by adding a chin strap to the witch's hat that I bought at Walgreens, but now I see that I need to up my game next year.
No, that's totally valid as well. The nice thing about Halloween costumes is that there's no end to the creativity that you can dump into it. You can go out and 3D print an entire thing, or you can just cobble stuff together from your basement. I was making a costume not too long ago when I basically just looked through my workbench and just found all these little greebles and like cases and even like plastic containers from from the grocery store as parts. And, you know, you paint it up and you can make it look just as cool.
Well, I'm hoping that our listeners out there, if they have any questions about how to put together a costume last minute, that they'll call in and ask our panel of costume experts, Andrew Liftack and Amanda Hare. You can call us at 800-639-2211. We would love to hear what you and your family are being for Halloween. Amanda, Andrew was just talking about ways to put together costumes from scratch with things that you find around the house. And I know that at Goodwill, it could be a treasure trove of not just clothing items, but other objects that could be good props or other elements of a costume. Are there any things that stick out from the stores that you've been working in recently that you think would make a great prop or a great addition to a Halloween costume that people might not like think of normally?
We try to save for this time of year specifically overalls, flannel, old wedding dresses are always super fun because you can just destroy them and be a zombie bride or you know, anything like that. We try to save certain things like that, but you know, I've seen like sweatpants where they've put pipe cleaners on them and they're, hey, I'm a cactus, or, you know, somebody taking and making like a try to be the leg lamp from Christmas Story where, you know, getting like a hula hoop and doing stuff like that. And just, you know, just being creative with the little things.
Yeah. Well, one of the other elements of putting together a Halloween costume here, I'm sure, is dressing for the cold. Picking a costume in Vermont is very different than picking a costume in Florida or Texas. So Andrew, I'm wondering what your considerations are around the Vermont weather and the chill when you're coming up with a costume for yourself and for, say, your son.
When I was growing up, the rule of thumb was make sure you can fit whatever you're wearing over a snowsuit. I remember a whole bunch of Halloween evenings where we actually had snow coming down. When I wear Stormtrooper armor, what I usually wear underneath that is a spandex type undersuit. So it's sort of like the Under Armour stuff that you might wear while exercising. And you can buy cold weather gear for exercising in winter, and that works pretty well. It really traps the heat in, but sometimes you just have to sort of resign yourself to just freezing your butt off. For my kid, usually just throwing on a couple of extra layers, and while I'm fitting a costume to him, making sure that, you know, all the parts fit over it.
And I also just saw that you tweeted some photos of your Stormtrooper outfit. Yeah. So for our listeners, if you find me on Twitter at Mika Frack, you can see some of the amazing costumes that Andrew has put together. Amanda, same question for you about the cold weather and putting together costumes. Any tips or tricks of what you can find at Goodwill to make sure you have a fun but weatherproof outfit?
You can decorate most, like last year, I wanted to be an Ewok, so I found fuzzy pajamas, and I wore my slippers, and I, like, knit a shawl or had, a scarf over my head, and I actually painted my mask to look like Wicket from Star Wars. So, and I was completely bundled up and sweating, but it was wonderful, because I was warm and comfortable. So I usually go for, like, something like really comfortable sweatpants or pajamas that I can make and stay warm. Because I've also had snow on Halloween as a little kid growing up in Maine. And it's, we had those plastic costumes when you were a kid and you didn't want your mom to throw a coat over it because no one will see your costume.
Right. Love the sweatpants idea, though. Very practical.
Yeah, I was very comfortable.
Now, I also want to bring in one more voice to this conversation, VPR's own news fellow, Marlon Hyde. Hey, Marlon.
Hey.
Now, you spent some time this week, I understand, speaking to thrift store employees all around Burlington to find out how to source the best DIY costume pieces. So tell us a little bit about where you went.
All right. This week, I stopped by a couple thrift stores in Burlington to see how people are handling the Halloween costume search.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped by Downtown Threads, which is basically a large walk-in closet filled with vintage clothes, and it sits right on Church Street. And I also stopped by Old Gold, which is like a costume store straight out of a movie, filled with chilling masks, full outfits, and spooky accessories.
That's awesome. Old Gold is one of my favorite spots in Burlington. So how are thrift stores handling the foot traffic this year? Did it feel like it was really busy when you went in these places?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely feel the energy of people trying to find that last-minute perfect costume.
Mm-hmm.
This year has been really interesting because Halloween falls on a Sunday, so there's plenty of events leading up between even last weekend where people have probably found a costume or they're still looking for pieces to add on to their costume.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Old Goal, when I went in, the store was packed. There were so many people like coming in, grabbing small things like accessories, gold rings. You know, maybe a pirate costume might be in their future.
That's awesome. And did you talk to the owner there? Did you hear anything about how they've been handling the rush this year?
Oh man, the rush has almost taken away complete outfits. I spoke with the owner. She said that the parties have been kicking off since last weekend. So even they sold out of their space cowboy costume, which was funny to see that there was a specific niche in Burlington for space cowboy costumes.
Really?
But also witches, nuns, angels, devils. They were
the classics.
The classics, you know, you can't rule those out.
So did you get any tips or tricks for putting together a Halloween costume at a thrift store?
Yeah. Building your own costume is not only cost efficient, but it adds a little extra flair and uniqueness to your costume. Thrift shops are an amazing place to get ideas on potential costumes, pick up ideas that can be worn well after the spooky holiday. Things like bell bottoms can either be mixed with a 70s costume or worn on a regular Thursday afternoon. Also, I saw a pair of fishnet leggings at Old Gold that would look good any day.
Marlon, when you accepted a job at VPR, did you think that you were also going to be a fashion consultant?
No, I didn't necessarily put it down on my resume, but...
Now you can.
You can. Now I can. I can add another thing to the list.
And then also, we talked a little bit with Amanda and Andrew about this, but I'm curious for your take. What did you see as the most popular costume ideas this year?
Well... You know, TV shows, movies, they're going to be big hits. So things like from Squid Games, you know, a green tracksuit with some white shoes, or Harley Quinn from the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. That was a huge hit. Even last night, there were a bunch of people walking down Burlington as cowboys, fairies. And again, the beloved and spooky witch is always a favorite around this time.
Always a fan favorite. Easy to pull off. All right, last question, because sadly our listeners can't see you right now, but you are decked out in an amazing outfit. What are you dressed up as this year?
I am currently wearing an Egyptian king costume with a long gold cape, a gold skirt with a ruby amulet in the middle, and a striped headdress.
And you look amazing.
Hey, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's VPR's news fellow, Marlon Hyde. Now we have Emily on the line from Cornwall. Emily, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. What's your question or costume idea?
So I was calling in with some tips for cardboard costumes. Halloween is my favorite event of the year. So I've gone through a few iterations of different ideas. But back in about third grade, I was dental floss, and I had a box from a washing machine and some twine that could pull out the front end. Came up with some ideas that might help others who are thinking about a cardboard costume, because as it turned out, I couldn't actually really walk in it, so I kept falling over onto my face as I was walking through the neighborhood, so I ended up with some scratches.
Some tips
for listeners thinking about cardboard costumes would be: consider how you're going to hold the candy, make sure you have some armholes in there or some other way of holding candy. Can your kid walk in it? Does it go below the knees? And can you fit through the door if your neighborhood has a haunted house or something else where you're actually having to move into somebody's space? Might not be the case this year, but my brother was a pepperoni pizza the same year from the other half of the washing machine box and was very sad not to be able to go into the haunted house that year.
Oh, no, too big a slice.
Too big a slice. Well, it's a whole pizza.
Oh, man, that is tough. Extremely pertinent warning. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing. Are you dressing up this year, Emily?
I am. But this is the first year that I'm dressing my own kid. So he's going as Harold in the Purple Crayon, and I'm just going to be his illustrated backdrop. But for folks who are thinking about cardboard, you might be able to find boxes through Front Porch Forum. Mm. Always a good source.
That is a great idea. And love all of the reusing that we're talking about on this show. Amanda, I also wanted to ask you about that. Do you, I think a lot of people might turn to thrift stores because they want to avoid, Amazon or buying from a big box store. Is that something that you hear working at the Goodwill?
Oh, definitely. You can put some pretty amazing costumes together for like $10, a lot less than you can do, like, nothing against Amazon, but a lot less than you can do online or at a big box thing. And I think you get a lot more creative freedom for a lot less money.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that the issues with the global supply chain that we keep hearing about in the news, do you think those are changing people's habits in any way?
I think so, because I think a lot of people, myself included, put together costumes last minute, and you're just like, I haven't thought of anything, and then you get this spark of inspiration, So if even if there wasn't a supply chain shortage and all that, like, you're not going to get stuff overnight. Or, you know, we've all run into a big box store at the last minute and what you had your heart set on isn't there. But it's a lot easier when you go into a thrift store, or, you know, I've seen people go to 2 or 3 or 4 thrift stores and you can kind of piece things together and you can get a little bit more inspiration.
Right, right. Now, Andrew, we have been talking about some of these, like, these popular Halloween costumes that you see every year. Marlon mentioned to us the fairies and the witches and, you know, those characters that are kind of a staple of Halloween. From your research into the history of Halloween, when did this practice of dressing up as these kind of sort of stock characters of Halloween start?
For things like witches and the supernatural, witches and devils have always been really popular. I think because they are really easy to make. You just need, you know, for kids, you just need, you know, clothing out of your parents' wardrobe or something. And the hats and the devil's horns or a trident, they're always pretty easy to find or manufacture. You start to see that change a little bit around 1940s, 1950s, when you have costume companies start to license characters from places like Disney. And over the years, you know, Marvel Comics and DC Comics for things like Spider-Man and Superman. Those are always very perennially popular costumes. I think I was looking at a thing earlier today. Spider-Man is like the most popular costume for kids in 2021, followed by princesses and some other similar characters.
So any tips on putting together a superhero or a princess costume for folks who don't have time or don't want to buy a pre-made one?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways to do it. There's you can probably put together a mask yourself if you have like a pillowcase. You might be able to find pajamas or other clothing that looks sort of like Spider-Man. Hot glue or a little bit of paint can put on the decals and the patterning. For adults, the movie Into the Spider-Verse gave us a really good out, because all you need to do is basically wear a brownish trench coat, 2 mismatched shoes, pair of sweatpants and a Spider-Man top, and you have the broken hobo Spider-Man that pops up in that film for a little bit. That was really popular at conventions just because it was so easy to throw together.
And when we think about the movies that are coming out this year, you know, we're just starting to get back into the like post-pandemic habit of seeing big blockbuster films and Marvel films and the like. Are there any characters from some of these new blockbuster films that you think would be fodder for some pretty great costumes?
Yeah, we mentioned Squid Games a couple times, and that's been the show that I think is probably going to be the most popular this whole year. It's taken the world by a storm. It's gone viral. And the nice thing about it for costume wise is that it's very, very easy to put together. You need a greenish tracksuit. You can put the stripes on with duct tape, or if you happen to have the right type of tracksuit, you might have it already. I think what really drives costumes and particularly costume popularity is just the ease to which you can make it. Right now there's a big science fiction movie out right in theaters called Dune. Those costumes are incredibly complicated. There's a lot of detail. There's a lot of patterning. And I've seen people make really fantastic still suits and from that movie. But they're so complicated to make. It would be very hard to do an overnight for Halloween. When you have a costume that is very, very easy to put together, again, like the Squid Games one, you'll see them a lot more just because there's a much lower bar to entry, so to speak.
Now, Andrew, you, I'm assuming, start making these costumes pretty early. How long does it usually take for you to put together one of your costumes?
So something like a stormtrooper or a clone trooper or whatever, I'm part of a group called the 501st. So we prize what we call screen accuracy. We want to make sure that they look as closely as possible to what you see on in the movie. That type of detail takes a little bit longer. if you have the right kit and the right tool set and the right amount of time, you can probably put something together in like a week or two. I've certainly built costumes where I've tried to go faster, but I'm just limited by the amount of time it takes for paint to dry and for glue to cure. Some people can take, weeks or months, or in some cases, even years to complete these types of costumes because they're trying to get that exact detail. Or it might require a really complicated paint job, like Boba Fett is a character. His costume looks cool, but it's also, there's a lot of different layers of paint and it's very patterned in a certain way. If you don't care about that detail, you can throw something together a lot quicker. And there are like the Mandalorian costume from the TV show The Mandalorian. That's not quite as complicated, especially if you're doing something for Halloween. I put together one for my son that I just used the silver spray paint. So it depends on the type of costume and the type of, the level of detail and how serious you really want to do it. For something like Halloween, for my kid, I might take a couple of weeks if I plan ahead. I didn't actually plan ahead this year, but maybe next year we will.
Sure. Now, you've mentioned a little bit about the cosplay community here in Vermont, and I'm wondering if you can paint the uninitiated among us a bit more of a picture of what this community is like. Are there a lot of folks who are really interested in cosplay here in the state?
Sure. Yeah, and cosplay is everywhere, I think. Yeah. Even in places like Vermont. Growing up, I was one of the only Stormtroopers for a long time. When the new Star Wars films came out in around 2015, that's when we saw a lot more interest pop up. So we got a lot more members in the group that I'm part of. We have about 30 people in the 501st now here in Vermont, mostly up in Burlington, but scattered around the state as well. What also helps here is that you have to have events that people can go to. So for a couple of years, there's something called Vermont Comic Con. This year, last month, there was the Vermont Sci-Fi Fantasy Expo, which had a lot of cosplayers show up to. And then for Halloween, you'll see people come out for that sort of thing. Some folks also do charitable events. With the 501st, we've gone to hospitals. We have a close working relationship with Make-A-Wish. So you see that happen as well. I believe there's some folks who do Ghostbusters as well. Some of us will be showing up at the Rutland Halloween Parade down in Rutland this weekend. And that's a longstanding event where people have dressed up in costume for.
You mentioned Make-A-Wish. I'm curious what type of work that the 501st does with the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Well, we have helped fulfill wishes. In a couple of cases, there have been kids who have been gift recipients, and they have wished to go to Disney. In those cases, they were really big Star Wars fans. There's one boy who we worked with who was a huge fan of Chewbacca. And we had one of our members come up from Massachusetts and, come and hang out with him for a little bit. And we basically have done sort of like an announcement party where the kid learns that they are going to Disney. One pretty notable one we did just before the pandemic came down in 2020 was we were on hand to announce that, this child was going to Disney. We've also escorted kids to the airport before they, for the flight to go down there. Sometimes it's just, a child wants to, meet a Star Wars character or a superhero. They work with a lot of other cosplayers as well, just to sort of make that story come to life for them for just a brief couple of minutes. What makes it all worth it is just the look on their face, just that look of astonishment and joy.
Yeah, that sounds like really important work. And what a great way to channel energy from costuming and crafting into something that affects so many people. Andrew, I would love to hear, before we have to take a quick break, any last tips for folks out there who, might not have a ton of time or a ton of money, but really want to put something fun together. What's one thing that you would suggest they go out and do first before this Halloween hits?
I always recommend adding in detail, and I have a really good example of this from one of my relatives a couple of years ago. They had a Halloween party at their house, and they basically decided to go as peanut butter and jelly. And what they did is they basically took two trash bins the plastic trash bins, cut armholes and a hole for their head, and put it on. And they drew up a label that they could slap on there. And what I recommended they do is to go a little bit further with detail, add on like the barcode on the back, add on like, you know, the ingredients, or a little bit of the art, or like the, you know, the little like 6 ounce label that goes on there to tell you how big it is. Adding in those little details like really makes the costume pop and makes it a little bit more memorable, just because it brings it to life just a little bit more, and it just makes it look cooler. It looks a little bit, maybe a little bit more realistic, and just a little bit different.
Yeah, Amanda, same question to you. Do you have any last minute tips or tricks for folks who are trying to put together a costume before Halloween?
Simplicity is best, but sometimes it is, you know, like Andrew said, like really memorable. I've seen people grab a blue dress and devil horns, and they were the devil with the blue dress, and you know, it's silly things like that. You can get really creative, and I think sometimes people get a little nervous, like it has to be a big giant project, and it's all about having fun, and I think just the simplest thing. You know, the simplest ideas end up coming, and I've been to parties before where it's like, wow, that's a really, really great idea. Like I said, I had somebody come in, buy khakis and a blue shirt, and she had an inflatable dinosaur. She was going to be Alan Grant from Jurassic Park, and super simple. And I was like, that's amazing. I love that. I'm going to do that next year.
That's incredible. All right. That is our, those are our tips and tricks. Simplicity, add some details, hit up your local thrift stores. And if all else fails, I think you could probably tweet at Andrew Liptak, and he might be able to help you out a little bit.